Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. At the stroke of midnight, or soon after, HBO Max turns into Max. When that happens, consumers of this mega content service will find more unscripted content at their command, including new documentary miniseries, How to Create a Sex Scandal. Executive producers Julian Hobbs and Helia Kami join me next. Also ahead, Authentic Studios opens, Cinedine becomes Cineverse, Peacock's new soccer play, our classic trivia answer, and more wax about Max. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I'm presenting the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Acast, Odyssey, and other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thank you all for joining us on this Monday afternoon to kick off pre-Memorial Day weekend week. 73 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and we welcome all of you to the program All About TV's current and future. We welcome especially those of you that are joining us on our new trio of podcast affiliates, and they are Podbay.fm, Podchaser, and Pop Paradise. That's Podbay.fm, Podchaser, and Pod Paradise. Thank all of you, and thank those wonderful organizations for joining our great lineup of podcast affiliates and growing too, and we appreciate you all being there. We hope you make us a regular habit. And one of the things we'd like to invite you to do is to interact with our guests coming up over the next hour. How do you do that? You pick up the phone, you dial in, and you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. And we've got our chat room business right now. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. To use the phone or the room, either way, you're interacting with us. And we like it that way. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Hit the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live interacting with you. And we'll be interacting live from England with our guests from the new Max series, How to Create a Sex Scandal, after these news notes. We open the week with the formation of a new content-making enterprise, Authentic Studios. At first, the venture from Authentic Brands Group will create and place TV projects with Sports Illustrated Studios, Jersey Legends, overseen by Shaquille O'Neal, David Beckham Home Studio 99, and Authentic Productions. Scripted and unscripted efforts from all four companies are coming soon, including Disney Plus documentary World War Shoe, an HBO special on the sexual abuse incidents within Ohio State's wrestling program, and series for TNT, Netflix, and ESPN. Multi-channel and on-demand content supplier Cinedine has renamed its organization today. Cineverse is the new title, adopted from its flagship channel, distributed through smart TV products and multi-channel bundles. Cineverse has a catalog of more than 60,000 films and TV episodes and circulates a variety of services, including Dove Channel, Screenbox, the Elvis Presley Channel, and in recent weeks, Quest TV from Quincy Jones. Future Cineverse distributed channels include GoPro and Fubo, that stands for, or FUBU, that stands for us, by us. In the latest move to make mega content venture Peacock a home for live sports coverage, Paramount NBC Universal agreed to carry a new soccer event with the winning team dividing $1 million among its players. 32 men's and women's teams, 7 players per team, will be in TST, the soccer tournament, running June 1st to the 4th in Cary, North Carolina. Peacock will carry most of the games live, then simulcast the championship game June 4th on CNBC. NBC will encore that game the following week. Now, quickies, Lionsgate has received worldwide distribution rights to crowdfunded series sensation The Chosen. Episodes from the first two seasons are now running on Netflix, Prime Video, and Peacock. Extra will start its 30th year in early evening syndication in September, distributed by Warner Brothers. Dating documentary series Swiping America comes to Max June 15th. CBS will delay the start of Big Brother's 25th season to August 2nd. And PBS is ready to resume its annual Memorial Day concert presentation live from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, Sunday night. Guests include Trace Atkins, Jewel Hill, and Yolanda Adams. Mantenga and Gary Sinise back as co-hosts. Again, that's this Sunday night on many PBS stations. And that is news notes for today. Back 18 years ago in 2005, in the community of Mineola, Texas, there was a scandal, a sex scandal. It all started when local children revealed some unique and shocking stories about a pedophile sex ring that took place at a local swingers club. Arrests were made, life sentences were handed down, and in the process, lives were ruined. And it became apparent that there was a lot more to the story than meets the eye. And now that story is being showcased in full in a new three-part documentary miniseries called How to Create a Sex Scandal. With one of the new attractions coming your way tomorrow when HBO Max becomes Max through smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles. Joining us live from England in Internet Radio Exclusive is the executive producer and director of the program, Julian Hobbs, and executive producer, Ellie Hakami. Julian, Ellie, welcome in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Simon. Thanks for having us.
Hey, pleasure to have both of you. What are you doing in England? I understand you're New York based, so what brings you across the Atlantic?
Well, actually, Talos is a New York-London-based company, so we spend roughly half the year in the United Kingdom, and we have a cottage together up in the Yorkshire Dales, and it's a lot cooler here than it may be in New York in August.
Okay, fair enough. Ellie, let's start with you. How did both of you decide to put a miniseries together out of the situation in Mineola, Texas?
I read an article in Texas Monthly, and it really caught my attention. It was called The Girl Who Told the Truth. And in it, Mike Hall, who was reporting on the story, brought forward Gabby, who was the woman featured in the story. And it was laid out that she, for many years, believed that her parents had taken her to a swingers club to perform sex acts with other children, a swingers club. And by the way, swingers clubs are legal in Texas. And then she recognized many years later, she actually testified to put away her sister, who was also involved in the scandal, and other people who were involved in the scandal. And then she recognized that many years later that actually this never happened, and that the memories that she had and the testimony that she gave actually were false. And after many, many years, she decided that she would stand up and tell the truth, speak truth to power, and clear her parents' name and all the people who were sitting in jail who were wrongly accused of this crime. And it really struck me for two reasons. One, it was something that I was so far from my imagination of ever having or could happen. And in addition to that, we also discovered that the testimonies of the children were recorded. So when they were being interviewed and their experiences, and they were talking about their experiences, that was all caught on tape. And I thought that there was something very captivating about these children who are now adults, seeing them as children and hearing what they were saying, and then as adults, them telling us that what happened to them actually hadn't happened to them. So that was kind of the beginning of this journey.
Mm. We have a call, I believe, coming in. We're going to take it in a second. But first, Julian, when both of you decided to investigate this, was there a game plan, because you're directing the program also, in terms of how do you visualize an incident or a series of incidents that may not have happened in the first place?
Well, that's a really good question, and Ellie and I thought long and hard about that. First, we had all the central figures participate in the film. So the family members and Margie Cantrell, who was the alleged mastermind of this brainwashing of these children. And again, just to set the table just very quickly, these children who were, you know, ages 4 to 7 in the early 2000s were put in a foster home after the alleged abuse at the swingers club, and they were interviewed by authorities where they alleged these crimes happened, right? So to Ellie's point, all those interviews with those children were available. So that became a key piece of archive to bring the story to life, as well as seeing where they are now and recalling these events. So essentially it's a series of amazing jaw-dropping archive and then present day interviews with the people who went through this, what I would basically call mass hysteria witch hunt.
All right, let's take this call and we'll find out what happens. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. All right. Apparently not on. Let's see if that caller calls back. We will see. We are talking about how to create a sex scandal. It is one of the new attractions coming on the first day of the reborn HBO Max as Max, available on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and multi-channel bundles wherever you are. And we're talking with the two people responsible for this three-part documentary miniseries, executive producer and director Julian Hobbs, executive producer Helia Kami. They're both with us live from England on the other side of the Atlantic this half hour right here exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom Rapp, I'm with you live from New York, 73 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us. Again, we want to welcome those of you just joining us on our new trio of podcast affiliates, podpay.fm, that's podbay.fm, Podchaser, and Podparadise. And if you have a question or comment for our guest, don't be shy. Ring it in. Here's the number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll have at least two more episodes for you live this week on Thursday and on Friday, and there is a possibility that we may be with you late on Wednesday afternoon. We can't say for sure yet because about 2 hours ago, we got this opportunity, and if it comes through, I think it's going to be a wonderful episode. We can't tell you who the guest is going to be. I promise you, it's a TV personality you'll know very well who is about to take a big leap in a different direction in television. And that's all I'll say about that. So keep your fingers crossed. We'll let you know through either Facebook or Twitter if we do have this episode coming to pass. But we will be with you Thursday and Friday on the program. And on Friday, our two guests are already set to go. One of my favorite people covering the world of television and TV sports, the columnist for the Queen's Chronicle, Lloyd Carroll. He's been with us before. He is always great. And one of the top executives in Spanish language television will be with us. Finally, Chief Revenue and Local Media Officer Steve Mandela. He's now with Estrella Media, which is more than just a broadcast network. They also have, one of the, among other things, the only Spanish language game show network that is currently running on U.S. in the United States and elsewhere, too. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Ellie, how much time did you and Julian spend in Mineola talking to witnesses, talking to local police, if you could, people at the Swingers Club, in order to put this together?
Well, there were three main production trips that were in Mineola. And then we also interviewed Margie, who's in California. And I would say that over the course, it was probably 14 or 15 shooting days total that were in Mineola, and we spent 10 hours interviewing Margie.
Julian, did the local police or local authorities give you any assistance, or did they decide to say, nope, we don't want to relive this?
Sadly, most declined our invitation. In fact, I would say everyone on the law enforcement side, including the Texas Rangers, who do have something to answer for, did not participate in the film. You know, doing good journalism, everyone was invited, and we were glad that Margie agreed to participate because Margie's side of the story has a right to be heard, and she still strongly believes that she is innocent of the accusations of brainwashing and child abuse that have been brought against her. But you know, law enforcement tends to be conservative as it relates to media, and they did not see it in their interest. That being said, I think there's a lot of questions that hopefully this documentary raises that they should be held accountable to answer.
And what are those questions, particularly with the Texas Rangers? What should they be held accountable for?
You have multiple people who have felony charges still on their record, which has directly impacted their lives in terms of their ability to earn a living, their standing in the community. And I think the preponderance of evidence at this point is clearly points to the fact that they were railroaded in a mass hysteria witch hunt. The authorities need to step up and take responsibility that there may have been, or at least investigate, let's keep an open mind, whether there was a miscarriage of justice and that amends need to be made. Rather than dodging responsibility, not being held accountable. So I think it's an issue of accountability. There's one gentleman in the film who was sentenced to jail. He was never released from jail. He sat in jail for 15 years and died of COVID 2 years ago. these type of things where an innocent man was sentenced to prison for that extended time needs to be investigated, needs to be looked at, and people's reputations and livelihoods need to be restored.
Ellie, Julian just mentioned brainwashing has something to do with this situation. How? How were these children allegedly brainwashed?
Well, I think I call it something slightly differently. I call it a manipulation and a coercion of memory. And one thing that we do in the film is we look at the moments that the children were brought into the, quote, interrogation room. And in that room, there's two adults that are basically not necessarily asking them questions, but they're feeding into them things that they will say and repeat back to them. And they also are doing things like, you know, in the interview, which isn't appropriate, they're, you know, touching them, they're kind of holding onto their hands, holding onto their arms, which shows that they're exerting control and that they have the power in the situation. So in that instance, these children are, you know, they're not necessarily giving an accurate testimony. What they're doing is basically repeating back what the adults want them to say because of the setting. And then in addition to that, Hunter, you know, had basically, you know, told us in the film that, you know, if when he went onto the stand, if he said the things that the adults wanted him to say, then he was rewarded. If he went on the stand and he said things that, you know, didn't necessarily implicate his parents in this case, then when he got home, he would have to go to his room and he wouldn't have dinner. So it was kind of this, you get a reward if you do and say what we're telling you to say, but you'll be punished if you don't do and say what we're telling you to say.
And just to be clear, the people in that room most often were Philip Kemp from the Texas Rangers, who had no trained experience in interrogating children, and Margie Cantrell, their foster mother, who had no reason to be in that room, had no professional training in this whatsoever. So it's a big problem. You see it in Satanic Panic, this kind of issue coming up, and you clearly on tape see it here in Mineola, Texas.
ID Films V2 has just joined our chat room. Thanks for coming aboard. If you have a question or comment for our guest, put in the room or make a call, 646-652-2906. Julian, how did this miniseries become available for Max subscribers to watch it tomorrow? What was the road to getting it there?
Well, the road was Ellie found the story, and we co-produced this with Texas Monthly, which we're very proud of. In turn, we then grabbed the attention of the Discovery Plus at that time team, and Winona and Jason, who are the head of development and the president of ID and Discovery Plus, commissioned the film. The film took, you know, a year and a half plus to make, produce, edit, and at that time we had done House of Hammer for Discovery Plus, which was did very well for them, performed well, and we had done Queen of Meth for them, which also had performed well. So when the merger with HBO Max occurred, the decision was made corporately, not by us, that this would be a great film to put out on the day of the Max release. So that's the path.
Mm-hmm. And in a moment, we'll talk more about the two other series that both these guests have done together, including House of Hammer. I wonder if it's about Hammer Films. We'll see. We'll leave you guessing for a little bit. We have got executive producer and director Julian Hobbs and executive producer Helia Kami with us live from England. They're the folks behind How to Create a Sex Scandal, three-part documentary miniseries that will premiere tomorrow when HBO Max becomes Max and still available in both commercial-free and limited advertising formats, 3-4 minutes per hour on smart TV sets and smart TV devices and multi-channel bundles. And by the way, for those of you that are Discovery Plus subscribers, you need not worry. Discovery Plus will remain a standalone mega content service, always available in the same way. Both of our guests are joining us live from across the Atlantic in England this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Outbound with you back in New York. 73 degrees near the bottom of the hour. If a question or comment, our remaining minutes with our guest, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, by name again, IGFilmsB2, already in the room. And again, coming your way Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, our two guests already set to go. We'll have the popular and very unique columnist for the Queen's Chronicle. He covers both television and TV sports, Lloyd Carroll. We've had him on the phone before. He's always a fun listen to. And then one of the top Spanish language television executives, Steve Mandela. He's worked with Telemundo. He's worked with Univision. He is now the chief revenue and local media officer for Estrella Media, a fast-rising company in the world of Spanish language TV. They run a bunch of networks, not just a broadcast network, also some other networks, including a 24/7 news channel and the only 24/7 Spanish language game show channel in these United States. They're both going to be with us tomorrow on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Ellie, how did both of you connect, and the kind of partnership you've had seems very successful.
Yeah, believe it or not, we actually met at Discovery Channel. Jillian and I ran development for Discovery Channel out of the New York offices, and then many chapters after that happened. Jillian was at History Channel. I ran BBC Worldwide Productions. I was at MTV, and then it just came a time where both of us were leaving our corporate jobs, and actually Alan Braun, who's an agent at CAA, said, I think you and Jillian should start your own production company. And we did. And so we have been running Talos Films for 8 years, and that's kind of the story of how we got here.
And Jillian, what about House of Hammer? That seems to be one of your highlights as a company.
I think House of Hammer was a zeitgeist film. He clearly was a media darling that turned into a media nightmare. But what our film did wasn't just do a rip from the headlines, quick turn crash doc. What we actually did is unpack four generations of the Hammer family dynasty. So think of it as like the real succession. But this was a deep dive historical look about the corruption, power, and lies, both in the boardroom and in the bedroom of the Hammer family. So it really gave a context to where Army came from and how this very aberrant behavior may be explained through his own privilege and the way that he exercised that privilege in his life. So it was a very sticky film. It was one of the top performers on the D+ platform and, got a lot of critical acclaim and certainly created a big storm of opinion, both pro and con. But, that's what you want to do with a film. You want to get a discussion going.
Yeah. Ellie, what did you think about the reaction of the film? I mean, if we're talking about Hammer films, which set the standard in the late 50s, 60s, 70s for how a horror film should be done and made stars out of Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee and so many others, as like the new Dracula, the new Frankenstein, and so on. What was the pro and con that both of you received about putting that series out there?
I think the pros were that the people who participated in the film really felt good about the story that they put forward. We're still in touch with Casey Hammer to this day. Courtney Vasekovich, who also was one of the women who came forward, felt that her story was treated with respect and with accuracy. So that's really important, is when we give, especially in this instance where we gave women a platform to come forward and share very traumatic experiences, that they felt that we provided them a safe and, a safe environment to basically, tell their truth. So that was definitely a pro. A con, that's an interesting one. I think when a film gets that much visibility, you become part of the news cycle, and there's a lot of opinions and, both good and bad about your film that come forward. And, we were relentlessly in the news cycle. And I think that was probably not, I wouldn't say a con, but I think it's like one of the things that's hard about making these type of very high profile films is that you know, you really just open yourself up and all of the creative hard work that you put into a project, you know, for the public to just comment on freely. And they have the right to comment on freely, but you know, you hear it very loud and very clear, and you hear it for across many headlines. And I think that was probably the difficult side of the film.
Mm-hmm. Julian, going back to How to Create a Sex Scandal, how was Texas Monthly helpful in putting this together? I know that the magazine now is working very hard to establish a TV presence, either through scripted or unscripted material.
Oh, enormously essential. Megan was a great partner who heads up that initiative to expand their footprint into TV and other media. But really at the heart of it, Mike Hall, whose initial reporting across three articles that stretch from, you know, 2008 through to 2018, the article that Ellie mentioned, he was a path-breaking journalist in unearthing this. We took his reporting and sended it out, I think, but we couldn't have done it without them. They were really the originators of the story, and they were fantastic partners. And everyone knows their style and integrity and captivating approach to journalism is top notch and critical to the project.
Yeah. Ellie, before we get into what's next for both of you with your company, what do you hope Max viewers will take away from this three-part series? And is there a message for anyone out for cities, for local police officials, et cetera, or for these kind of clubs outside Mineola, Texas?
I think there's a few messages that I hope that the film will leave Max viewers. I think first and foremost, going back to what originally sparked our interest in this film, which was an article called The Girl Who Told the Truth. For me, I was, you know, I was just blown away that there was a young woman who was able to, you know, stand her ground and say, this is what happened. There was a lot of mass hysteria that was going on around this case and this story. And she found a way to silence that and to come forward and speak her truth. And I think that the first message I would say is that that's possible. That if, you know, you're in a situation where people are not believing you, but you are firmly telling the truth, you keep speaking up and you keep speaking louder and you keep speaking more firmly, and there will be people who will believe you. And the truth will come out one day. I think that's probably one of the many messages, but probably at the forefront of what I hope mass viewers walk away with.
For either of you, is Texas Monthly doing a follow-up story in conjunction with the Max presentation?
A follow-up story? We'll see, because there's a lot in action to this day. Again, these people have not been exonerated, so we would love to see what happens, and hopefully this film will have an impact. I'd quickly throw in, I know our time's limited, I also think it's a really interesting study in human psychology, in the malleability of identity and memory, and how our supposed rational society can fall very quickly into groupthink and mass hysteria. I mean, this is, you know, it has parallels to the Salem witch trials. Instead of, you know, it takes a village to have mass hysteria, and everyone in that community has to, I think, examine themselves about their responsibility of what happened here. But without passing judgment, I think the other message is that this can happen anywhere to any one of us, because the psychological techniques that were put into play in this small community are universal about the foibles of humans and their propensity to believe untruths and lies.
Ellie, what's next for both of you?
Well, hopefully we'll come back one day to back to you, Simon, with a new film that we can talk about.
We do have a couple new films, but we can't
the
network
say.
Won't allow to tell us what they are, as well as some very exciting funner fare in the more reality sphere, Ellie, right? We can't say exactly what they are, but we love doing documentaries where we become hands-on creatives and we really deal with social justice issues and do these kind of premium documentaries. But Talos also does fun fun formats that people are going to laugh and be entertained by. So all of those are in play right now.
And right now in play and well-timed with the launch of or relaunch of HBO Max as Max Tomorrow is How to Create a Sex Scandal. It's a three-part documentary miniseries. It will be on Max Tomorrow along with other new attractions as this mega content service, nearly 3 years in business, goes from HBO Max to Max. And again, it's running on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and multi-channel bundles, both in a limited commercial format, 3 to 4 minutes per hour, and also commercial-free. More details about the series and everything else happening with this reboot, go to maxmax.com. That's maxmax.com. Julian Hobbs, Elliot Comey, thank you both very, very much for coming on. Congratulations on this new project for HBO Max, becoming Max, and good luck with more great stuff in the future. We'd love to have you both back. It's been a pleasure all the way.
Thank you.
Thanks, Simon. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome, Julian. Ellie, take care. Have a super week.
Sounds good. Bye.
Julian Hobbs, Elliot Comey, joining us live from England this half hour on Tawabi Televised. When we come back, our answer to our latest classic trivia question, and there's more to say about the conversion of HBO Max to Max. We'll wax on that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR is your home for Women Who Jam Radio. Latest episode is on today, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. If you love women, if you love unique improvisational radio, check out Women Who Jam Radio from Jay King and his crew. That's today, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com, which more and more people are watching on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Welcome back to our second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, first of several episodes we are doing this pre-Memorial Day week on a Monday afternoon here in New York. Tom Avon with you live from the Big Apple, 71 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Again, we want to welcome those of you tuning us in on our trio of new podcast affiliates, Podbay.fm, Podchaser, and Pod Paradise. If questions or comments as we continue, give us a call. We want to hear from you. 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04, by name. Now time for our classic trivia segment, and unfortunately, we do not have a winner for our latest question that we've posed over the last 2 weeks, and so that means nobody right now wins our Starbucks reward card, furnished by the BBC, and the Canela Kids coloring book based on their new hit animated tune, Super Ellis, which will be going into a second season, plus accompanying crayons. The question: name the actor who played the Rebel on The Rebel, the popular ABC Western saga that ran two seasons, 1959-1961. Johnny Yuma was the character. Johnny Cash did the theme song. We told you that you could find episodes on YouTube. The answer, Nick Adams. And if you don't know The Rebel, you might know Nick Adams' face. He was sort of a James Dean-like actor. He actually came into his being. Some of you may have seen the movie Picnic recently on Turner Classic Movies. I think it was last weekend. And he plays one of the people trying to court either Kim Novak or Susan Strasberg, one of the two sisters in that film, a very popular movie. From there, he did other movie roles. He then created, with Andrew Day Fenaday, The Rebel. After The Rebel ended two seasons later, he then became the star of a newspaper drama that was done by Four Star Television that ran, I think, was on ABC for about half a season, called Saints and Sinners. You can see some of those episodes on YouTube, along with a clip of the wonderful theme music by Elmer Bernstein. From there, he did guest shots on other shows like Arrest and Trial and other ones of the 60s, did some movies, including some Japanese films, and unfortunately, his life ended tragically and way too soon. He was a wonderful actor, the Rebel, his best-known character as Johnny Yuma, the Confederate, trying to form a new life for himself post the Civil War. Once again, Nick Adams was the actor who played the Rebel on The Rebel. So nobody gets the prizes. We're going to have a new question coming your way on our next episode, which will either be this coming Wednesday or Thursday, depending on our Wednesday afternoon possibility. So we'll offer the question on our next episode. We'll have the same prizes. We may add another one. We'll see. And if you know the answer when we post the question, email me, simonapple04 at yahoo.com. That's simonapple04 at yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And yes, those of you that are tuning us in on podbay.fm, Podchaser, Pop Paradise, you can certainly get involved with it. And if we don't post the question, if we don't have an answer by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow, Tuesday morning, on Facebook, and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, as we say around here, in order to win, you got to play in. So do it. Nothing to lose, everything to gain, and of course, all the very best. And now it's time to have some more wax about Max. In case you just joined us, we just had the two people behind a new documentary miniseries called How to Create a Sex Scandal, which will be one of several new programs, scripted, unscripted, and cartoon, that will be starting up tomorrow when HBO Max becomes Max. The big change with Max is that in addition to being in, still in two formats, limited commercial advertising, 3 to 4 minutes per hour, and commercial free, there will be more unscripted programming, largely taken from what you can also find on Discovery Plus, as well as Discovery Channel, Animal Planet, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the good news is, for those of you Discovery Plus fans, you don't need to, if you want, go to HMAX to find the material. Discovery Plus will remain as an ad-supported service. That's a good deal. And by the way, Discovery Plus is profitable less than about 2 years into its run. And HBO Max, now Max, soon Max, will be profitable as well, probably either this year or next year, 2024, at the latest. Here's the good news about Max. Max, with this new conversion, is trying to become more of everything to everybody. If you've seen the ads for Max, they, of course, saying the more you have, you know, you have everything. It's like everything at your fingertips. You will have scripted television. You will have unscripted television. You will have unique original shows. You will both scripted and unscripted, plus the best of HBO and other services. And you will also have Discovery Plus, or a lot of the Discovery Plus programming. And very soon, you will also have more in terms of live news coverage and live sports. We will find out more about that in about a month or two. And down the road, you will have some very interesting scripted Max originals, including the Harry Potter series that is getting a lot of controversy for all sorts of reasons. And I hope that at some point, Casey Bloys, who is the head of HBO and Max, will talk more about the Harry Potter situation and clarify it for everybody, particularly with all those Harry Potter fans out there. The great thing about Max is that it gives you maximum flexibility as a mega content service. All sorts of programming, including animated shows. Two ways to do it, commercial-free or limited commercial interruption, and that's going to be like 3 or 4 minutes per hour, breaks no, lasting no longer than 90 seconds. Plus, you will see in the coming months, Max really get into interactive advertising, pause ads, shoppable ads where you can order products and services at given points in the program, calling up more information about a product or service, etc. And that's a good thing. And one thing that is becoming very clear is that for most of these mega content services, whether it is Max, whether it is Disney Plus, whether it's Prime Video, whether it is Peacock, you will see most of these services diversify and become more mega content, either more scripted, more unscripted, more originals, more acquisitions. And in the case of Peacock and Max, more live sports coverage. And in the case of Max, more news coverage, more documentary programming. And that can only be a good thing. There will be some mega content services that will like to stay where they are, like Netflix. However, as you've noticed, Netflix is getting more into sports documentary programming, specials, and series. They will probably do more. And Paramount Plus is doing more live news and sports coverage. They've got stuff from CBS News. They've got the CBS News magazine, 60 Minutes, 48 Hours, and so on. And they are also either carrying live or on tape delay CBS sports programming. So one thing you can conclude about the conversion of HBO Max to Max is that we are going to see a mega content era for sure, that encompasses many, if not all, different genres of programming. Scripted, unscripted, live action, animated, news, sports, reality, and everything unique between them. That's a good thing. Whether it will silence the critics and say, oh, at some point, these services will consolidate, we will see winners and losers. Not sure about that. After all, the more programming you have, the more opportunities you have for a growing and steady audience. And I think that, frankly, is a good thing for television. And frankly, these services, along with Apple TV+, Topic, Crackle, etc., they got a good shot. They've hung in for now, or until now, and chances are they will be hanging in for a lot longer. And that's my wax about Max. And again, Max debuts as Max tomorrow at or shortly after midnight, Eastern and Pacific time. And again, for more details about the service, max.com. It's max.com. Well, thank you all. Oh, one more thing before we wrap things up for today. I hope some of you had a chance to hear our episode from yesterday, our first ever weekend edition, where we featured live from Tel Aviv, Israel, Aliza Chanowitz. She is the star, creator, and writer of Chansky, which is the Series Fest 2023 independent pilot series winner for Best Comedy. What we found out from Aliza live yesterday in our first ever weekend edition is that there's actually a series that is currently running on Israeli television. HOT is the name of the service that's running on. And hopefully once this writer's strike is settled to everybody's satisfaction and benefit, that it will ultimately be picked up as a series. We will keep you posted, and we will have Aliza back when that does happen. And incidentally, we were supposed to have another guest join us yesterday. That's Jonathan Boltax, the interactive TV guru, formerly of Cablevision Systems, now Optimum or Altice, depending on where you are. He is based in both New York and in Tel Aviv, Israel. And he was supposed to be with us to talk about his fast-growing service, Playworks, which is now presenting interactive games and videos on various smart TV sets, smart devices, and in some cases, cable systems. We were going to have him on yesterday, and as it turned out, we learned before the weekend that Jonathan was going to, rather than be in Tel Aviv, be up in the air in a plane, which he was, going somewhere. We are working with his publicist to reset that interview. When we did, we'll let you know, we had told you before this past Sunday, that there was some news regarding Playworks that was going to be broken. It turned out that the news was that they have come up with an interactive game based on the music of Jimi Hendrix. And that game is now playing on the various interactive game channels that Playworks content is running on. And there may be more from the Jimi Hendrix organization that will be green-lighted for this service. We'll keep you posted on that. And once again, we hope to have Jonathan Boltax on to talk about the full 10 yards about Playworks and where it is going here in the United States and worldwide down the road on a future Tomorrow We Televised episode. Well, that will do it for this episode of our program. We again thank you all for being with us. We want to thank again our guests, Julian Hobbs, Elliot Tommy, for being with us live from across the Atlantic in England. And we also again want to welcome our new podcast platform affiliates, Podbay FM, Podchaser, and Pop Paradise. That's podbay.fm, Podchaser, and Pop Paradise to our growing family. I think we have now something like 17, 18 different podcast platforms that are taking our show. And once we go off the air, they get the episode. So if you miss the episode live, you can catch it shortly after we go off the air on all of our various podcast sites, including Spotify, iHeartRadio's Podcast Network, Acast, Verbal, Odyssey, formerly CBS Radio, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you came in late on the program and you want to catch up on today's episode, or if you're new to the program, want to catch up on recent episodes or episodes you missed, all you got to do is very simple. Go to our podcast sites. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Or go to our website, tomorrowwetelevise.com. Tomorrowwetelevised, all one phrase, .com, run by the fine people at On Podium. And as always, you are invited to interact with our program. Oh, for those of you that are listening to our show on podcast, even though you may be listening to this after the fact, you can still participate. Just take down our number, 646-652-2906, and no matter where you are, when we're on live, you can call in. You can also use our chat room live, SimonApple04 by name, at blogtalkradio.com/televised. So either way, even if you can't hear the show live, if you're somewhere where you can get to a computer or a laptop, you can still participate in the program. You know, just call, or you can, wherever you are, if you can't have a laptop or a tablet or whatever, call in. Dial in with the number. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, on BTR, on Spreaker, on TuneIn Radio, and join us that way. We make it so easy for you. And we also make it so easy for you to interact with us after the program and between programs. I'd love to hear what you think about our show. I'd love to hear what you think about where TV is at and where it's going. All you got to do is email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, you can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook and LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum. Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Leave me a message there. I will respond. We also, at tomorrowbetelevised.com, we have a question box. Put your question or thoughts in the box. If we use your question or suggestions on the air, we, of course, will give you the credit. We also have a feature that we do regularly called the Show to Know. Is there a TV show that you like that doesn't get enough attention and you'd like it to get that attention for you and all? Well, just let me know. And if we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you put down your name and where you're from. If you're going to email, if you're going to let me know the information by LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, put the information down there so that we can credit you if we use your Show to Know suggestion on the air. And don't forget, remember, our next episode will have a brand new classic trivia question for you. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Use that email to get your answer in, as well as let us know your name and mailing address. So if you win, you, of course, will get the credit, and we'll make sure we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. No matter how you communicate with us, we communicate back with you within 24 hours. That is our promise to YOU. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They're not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitaris Fakus is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. I hope your Monday and your week gets off to a great start. We will be back either Wednesday afternoon or Thursday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Stay in touch with us on social media. We'll let you know either way. And either way, you know where to find us, Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, as well as our podcast and website destinations. Again, thank you to podbay.fm, Podchaser, Paradise, that's podbay.fm, Podchaser, Pod Paradise, for joining us as our new podcast affiliates. We deeply appreciate you. And remember, whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe. Make it great for you or others you love, especially as we get to a very big Memorial Day weekend. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.